Hello, my name is Steve Wilbraham, and I'm the senior pastor of Congregational Presbyterian Church. We are glad to offer these audio sermons for our congregation and for those interested in learning more about our church and the Christian faith. We invite you to visit us, to meet our pastors and members, and to join us in the journey of faith. The mission of our church is to know Christ, to become like Christ, and to share Christ. Now, on to the sermon.
This morning, we turn to the Gospel of Mark and begin what will be about a three-month journey through this second of the four Gospels that we find in the New Testament. All four Gospels are focused on the person and ministry of Jesus Christ. And as we read them and as we study them, we come to understand why Jesus came into the world, why the Son of God was born as a human being. And we begin to see that Jesus' words and Jesus' actions, and in particular, his death on the cross and his resurrection, are indicative of a new reality. A new reality that God is offering to all people who want to be a part of that new reality. And it is that reality that Jesus is preaching. It is that reality that Jesus is living. It is that reality that we can become a part of, and we learn both how to become a part of it and how to live in it as we read the Gospels. And indeed, as then we continue to read in the New Testament, to read the letters of Paul and John and Peter and others, we begin to learn how they, in the early church, began to live out this new reality that Jesus Christ had introduced, how they understood that in terms of their own lives as well as in the growing community of Christians that were seeking to follow Jesus Christ. This morning, we're going to look at two verses from the first chapter of Mark, two verses that lay out the groundwork or the foundation of this new reality, a new reality that Jesus tells us is good news. So I invite you to turn with me to Mark chapter 1. Or if you don't have your Bible with you, the verses are written there in your bulletin. Mark chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. Later on, after John was arrested, Jesus went into Galilee where he preached God's good news. The time promised by God has come at last, he announced. The kingdom of God is near. Repent of your sins and believe the good news. Mark tells us that the ministry of John the Baptist has come to an end. This public ministry where he has been preaching, repent of your sins, as Jesus will preach. John has now been imprisoned, and we know that John will soon be killed by King Herod. So as John steps off, if you will, the stage of public ministry, Jesus is stepping onto the stage. And Mark tells us that as he steps onto the stage, he comes with a particular mission, a particular purpose, and that purpose is to preach the good news, to come and to bring the good news of God. And here, in four brief phrases, Jesus summarizes in verse 14 what the good news is. The first thing that Jesus says is the time has come at last. At last, it's here. And what is it that is here? At last, what is here is what God has been promising for hundreds of years through his prophets. Through his prophets, whose words are recorded for us in what we call the Old Testament, the Hebrew Bible, God promised that a new world, a new reality, a new kind of kingdom was coming. It was going to be a kingdom of justice over against the injustice of the world. It was going to be a kingdom of love over against the bitterness and anger and hostility of the world. It was going to be a kingdom of being able to be in a personal relationship with our God, our Creator, our Heavenly Father, rather than being separated from our God because of our sin. It was going to be a kingdom where we followed God's law, but not as in the old days, because that law, if you will, was kind of out there, and either because we're afraid of God or somehow felt compelled to follow the law. Now, the prophet said, the law, when the time comes, will be in our hearts, meaning that we will have an inner desire, a compulsion, indeed a love for the love of God, that we will desire to live that in our daily lives. That will be part of the kingdom of God, and many, many other ways of expressing this kingdom. And the prophets also said there will come someone named a Messiah, which literally means anointed by God, the one who's appointed by God to bring all this about. The Messiah, a person, will come and will be a part of instituting and ruling within this new kind of kingdom. So for hundreds of years, the people of God have been told, the time is coming when? The time is coming when? The time is coming when? Like children in the weeks leading up to Christmas. Oh, Christmas is coming. But when? Christmas is coming. When? And finally, mom and dad say, Christmas is here. All the things that have been promised you, all the things you've been thinking, all the things you've been looking forward to that mean Christmas to you, it's the day. And that's what Jesus is saying here in Mark chapter 1, verse 15. Finally, the time is here. All these things that God has been revealing, all these things that God has saying is going to take place at some point in the future. This particular person who's to come and is going to signal the inauguration of this new kingdom. It is here. Finally, the time is now, Jesus is saying. And that's good news. That is good news, he says to the people, that you get to live in this particular time. You don't have to live in the time of just promises and just looking forward and saying it's wonderful what God is going to do one day, but I don't get to see it today. No, you get to live in a time where God is doing these things. The time is at hand. And the wonderful new world, this wonderful new reality that God is bringing about, Jesus calls it, indeed Scripture throughout the Old and New Testament call it the kingdom of God. Now this phrase, a kingdom of God, is one, especially for us 21st century Americans, perhaps is not quite as compelling as it would have been to people in Jesus' day, because we have kind of an inborn, historical, even if you will, patriotic aversion to a king and a kingdom. That's not us, you know. We got rid of that stuff several hundred years ago. What do you mean kingdom? Well, we need to understand what the biblical language is about and hopefully set aside our historical prejudice and understand it in terms of a godly kingdom and what that's all about. Well, to understand what the kingdom of God is like, we can first just ask the question, well, what is a kingdom? Well, a kingdom is a realm that is ruled by a king. The extent of that realm is defined by the people who are in the kingdom. Now, a worldly kingdom, it tends to be a kingdom that is geographically located, and the people who live within that geographical area that is ruled by a particular king, those people are part of, they're citizens of that kingdom. And furthermore, the king of a kingdom is the one who determines what happens in his kingdom, especially in two very important areas. The first thing, if he's a good king, is he provides for his people. He promises certain things to his people. He promises to keep them safe. He promises to make sure they have enough to eat. He promises to find ways to help them to be gainfully employed. He promises to help them when they get sick, to provide doctors or hospitals or whatever. The king provides those things that his people need on a day-to-day basis. But what the king also does is he provides, secondly, a set of rules or regulations for how people are to live in his kingdom. Essentially saying, this is how I want you to treat one another, and this is how I want you to treat me, your king. And so there are laws that are instituted for the proper way to live within that particular kingdom, established by the king. Now we can take those principles of a general worldly kingdom and apply them to the kingdom of God, except here we understand that we're applying them to a spiritual kingdom, not a geographically defined kingdom. That is, who is the king of the kingdom of God? Of course, is God himself. What is the extent of his realm? The extent of his realm are people who spiritually, not geographically, not in terms of location, but it's spiritually in terms of their condition of their hearts, have committed themselves to live within the rule of God as their king. And God, in turn, has committed himself as king to, one, provide for us, and secondly, to give us his regulations to live by. To provide for us is seen in all different kinds of ways that God says that I will care for you, I will look out for you. And the rules of God are given to us throughout Scripture in different ways, summarized in the Ten Commandments in the Old Testament, and by Jesus in the New Testament, as love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself. That's kind of the foundational rule. Jesus says all the rules of the kingdom come from this particular rule. Love God, love each other. And so the kingdom of God is the realm of those who spiritually have committed themselves, who have entered and become a part of that kingdom. And in that kingdom, they are being blessed, supported, provided for by God, who's the king, and they have agreed to live according to his rules. So that's the kingdom of God. And what Jesus is saying is he says, this is the second thing he says after he says the time has come. It's here now. That's good news. The second good news is this kingdom, this realm, this way of living, this new reality has come near. It has come near. Now that means that there was a time that it wasn't near, right? That the kingdom so far has been far. In fact, it has been so far that you have not been able to be a part of it. It has been so far that all these amazing things that God wants for you in his kingdom are not available to you because you can't get into the kingdom. And why can't you get into the kingdom? You can't get into the kingdom because of your sin. Indeed, it is sin that ruined the first iteration of that kingdom, which we read about in Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2. The kingdom of God was called the Garden of Eden. It was inhabited by a couple of human beings called Adam and Eve. And in that kingdom, if you will, God was in charge. God provided amazingly for Adam and Eve. Everything they needed was there for them. And he had some rules, including not eating from a particular tree. What did Adam and Eve do? They sinned by eating of that tree that they had been told not to. And what was the consequence? The consequence is exclusion. The consequence is banishment from the garden. The consequence is being outside the kingdom of God. And that is a consequence that has remained with humanity ever since until, good news, the kingdom of God, which was so far away, there's no way that you could have access to it, it's come near. It's right here. Yes, the truth is that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, or if you will, have fallen short of the kingdom of God. But something has changed now. The kingdom of God has come near. Certainly what has changed is not you or me. We still sin. We are outside the kingdom, and there's nothing we can do to get into the kingdom, but something has changed to bring it near, to make it available. How has it come near? Well, Jesus, you can imagine Jesus is preaching. He's speaking these words. There's a group of people. It's as near to you as I am to you, essentially, Jesus is saying, because the way in which you get into the kingdom, the way in which you get new life, the way in which you get to live this new truth that God has for you is through me. It's as near, if you will, as I am to you. I am, as Jesus will later say in John chapter 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father, and we could paraphrase, no one enters the kingdom of God, Jesus says, but by me. So why is the kingdom of God now near? Because Jesus is near. And it is through him, it is through me, Jesus says, that you are able to enter into the kingdom of God. So this is what God has provided. Those are just the first two phrases of verse 15. What God has provided is the time that is now, all the promises that have been given. The one is here to fulfill those. And secondly, you can be a part of it now. You couldn't before, you can now. What's the second part? Well, the second part is what you and I need to do in response. How are we able to receive this kingdom? How are we able to go from the kingdom being near to actually becoming part of the kingdom, to live within the kingdom? Jesus says, repent of your sins and believe this good news. That's it. Sounds simple. It's not. But that's it. That's where we need to keep our eyes focused. Jesus doesn't say become a better person and you can become part of the kingdom of God. Jesus doesn't say look more like you're already in the kingdom and then you can come into the kingdom. No, Jesus says repent of your sin and believe the good news. Why repent? I think most of us are aware that the word repent essentially means turn. If you're repenting of your sins, it means you're turning from your sin. And it also means that you're turning to a life of not sin. But what we often do, and we make the mistake of thinking of repentance as being just kind of the one-dimensional, okay, I'm going to work really hard not to sin. But we have not yet taken stock of, we have not yet taken seriously what we're turning away from. Because we're not just turning away from sin in kind of a generic way. We are turning away from that which produces sin in us. And what produces sin in us is living according to a kingdom that is not the kingdom of God. For in this world, there's only one other kind of kingdom than the kingdom of God. Remember, where God rules, he's the king. The other kind of kingdom is the kingdom of me. The kingdom of Steve. Who rules in the kingdom of Steve? Steve rules. Who ensures that Steve gets all the good things that Steve wants and feels that he needs and deserves and has the right to in this life? Who's in charge of that? Well, Steve is. Who's going to make up the rules of Steve's life so he can get what he thinks he needs and wants and deserves and has the right to? Well, Steve's going to make up the rules to make sure as best he can that he gets those things. The kingdom of Steve is what needs to be repented of. Not just a general, oh, I'm going to try really hard not to do bad stuff. We need to realize that we're doing bad stuff because we're living according to a kingdom of me, the kingdom of self. The kingdom, if you will, that can be summarized by the motto, my will be done. And that becomes a real good shorthand way of saying what's the difference between the kingdom of self that we have to turn away from when we repent, and what is the kingdom of God that we turn to when we repent? In the kingdom of God, it is thy will be done. One little three-letter word versus one little two-letter word. The difference of one letter is what we're talking about in repentance. But it needs to be real. It needs to be honest. We need to honestly assess where we are in the kingdom of me and the sacrifice it's going to take and the humility that it's going to take and the setting aside sometimes of me getting what I want if I'm going to live according to thy will be done. But if I'm not willing to do that, I cannot be in the kingdom. Jesus is very clear on this as we go through the Gospels, as is the rest of Scripture. You cannot live both in the kingdom of God and the kingdom of me. You cannot have a foot in both camps at the same time, if you will. It simply can't happen. Now, what oftentimes happens is, unfortunately, we don't really repent of the kingdom of me. We just kind of baptize it with a few, you know, Christianese kinds of activities and words and language. We're still in the kingdom of me, but we look at the kingdom of God and we learn about it from the Bible or in church or whatever. And we say, well, there's some things in the kingdom of God I kind of like. I'll import that into the kingdom of me. I like this love your neighbor. Well, at least as long as they're nice and, you know, things are going well. I'll incorporate that into the kingdom of me and go to church on Sunday. That's okay. I'll do that. That's part of the kingdom of me. And give some money to people who need. That's fine. And we think we Christianize the kingdom of me. In fact, we even sometimes call ourselves Christians. But biblically, we're not, because we have not repented. We have not turned away from that. We have just sought to kind of bless it. But we're still in charge. We're still deciding what is right and good for us. And we're still deciding what rules we're going to live by in order for us to bring to ourselves, as best we're able, those things, again, that we want, that we need, that we deserve. We need to be very real about this. We need to be very honest about this. And Jesus is going to work through all these different kind of issues as we move through the gospel. And we'll see this over and over. What does true repentance look like? Today, all we can talk about what it is like in terms of its explanation and in terms of understanding the concept. We're going to see real life examples over and over again as we move through the gospel. We need to say no. We need to turn from this in order to turn to the kingdom. If we don't, we cannot turn to the kingdom. We must be, as Jesus says to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, using a different kind of illustration. He says, Nicodemus, if you want to enter the kingdom of God, you must be born again. It's like you become a brand new person. Paul says it this way, you have to die to yourself. What he means is die to the kingdom of me. Paul says, I am now a new creation. I have been born again. I am a person who is in the kingdom of God, which means the kingdom of me is no longer true. That makes me totally different than I used to be. Not just I'm a little bit nicer, I work a little bit harder at being good. I've learned a little bit more about the Bible. I listen a little bit more to the sermon and so on. No, I am a completely different person than I used to be. Because my priorities are different. I'm looking out for other people now rather than just looking out for myself. And I'm truly following all the rules and regulations of God, not only those that I feel, you know, are convenient. Now, I struggle with them. It's hard to do. In fact, if to be honest, there's some of them I don't like, but this is the kingdom where I live. And this is my God who is my King. And so this is what I now need to do. That is repentance. Repent of your sins, Jesus says, and believe the good news. This becomes, I think, one of the primary motivating factors, is we need to trust God that living in His kingdom is ultimately going to be better than living in our kingdom. The reason it's so hard to give up the kingdom of me is there's something within us that says, you know, if you give that up, you're not going to like it as much over there. You're not going to have what you want over there. You know, God may ask you to do something that's uncomfortable over there. What you'd rather do is have a little bit of God over here, but you're just still in charge. And if you hear something or read something or get a feeling that you need to do something that you really don't want to do, well, you're still in charge. You're still a good person. You're still okay. We need to believe the good news that the very best place to be is in the kingdom of God. And we need to trust that, and we need to believe that, and we need to hold on to that. And it is good news. And Jesus, again, in his life and in his teaching and in his ministry, is going to show how to live in that kingdom and is going to preach the benefits of that kingdom and the power of that kingdom and the influence of that kingdom and the eternal promises of that kingdom and the ability of that kingdom to overcome all the things that are wrong and that are selfish and self-centered and ultimately evil in the kingdom of self, because we tend to do some pretty bad things in order to serve ourselves and treat people in some pretty bad ways in order to get what we want. So believe the good news, Jesus is saying. Trust me when I tell you that I have come that you may have life and that you may have abundant life. Not just average life, not just so-so life, not just, kind of holy religious life. No, abundant life. Believe the good news that every good and perfect gift that you need in your life will come down from heaven, as Peter says in the second letter. Because that's what God's about. When you live in His kingdom, He's in charge and He's taking care of you. And all you need to do is to trust, to believe this good news, and He will make it happen. That's the story of this gospel. That is the story of all four gospels. And indeed, that is the story of the whole Bible. The Old Testament looking forward, the New Testament looking back, if you will, having been written after Jesus arrives on the scene and says, the time is now. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You and praise You for these very simple but direct words. They are simple, but they're certainly by no means simplistic. Indeed, all of these Gospels and all of Scripture is about unpacking what this means. All the good that God has for us, what does that look like? The way in which God rules in His kingdom, how does He do that? The ways in which we live as citizens of kingdom, what does that mean? What does that look like? What does that feel like? The necessity to give up the kingdom of me, the self-rule, and working so hard to just try to satisfy what I think will make me happy, what I think will please me, what I think will give me purpose, and instead to trust God, that He promises happiness, that He promises fulfillment, that He promises that a relationship with Him is the very, very best way that I can live my life. Indeed, I am living God's life, and He is living His life in me and through me, not just in the limited time that I have in this world, but into eternity. In a kind of reality that Scripture says we can't even imagine what it'll be like. But whatever it is, it will be glorious. But now is the time. Today is the opportunity to be a part of that kingdom. Repent and believe the good news. These are the words of Jesus to us today. May we hear them. May we trust them. May we appropriate them by accepting them as being true. And as we learn more in these next several months what that means, what that looks like, and ultimately how Jesus' death on the cross forgives sin, allowing entry into the kingdom of God, and His resurrection guarantees that we will be in that kingdom forever. Lord, bless us and be with us. Help us to understand by Your Holy Spirit every step of the way as we journey through this gospel together. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.